Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And many thousands of people will be travelling to Dublin Airport this weekend, heading off on their summer holidays. But if you haven't booked a parking space, you'll need a plan to get there and back because the car parks are full. And also, hundreds of flights were cancelled this week due to strike action by French air traffic controllers. Ryanair alone had to cancel more than 400 flights across Europe. I'm joined on the line by Eddie Wilson, who's chief executive of Ryanair. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So on the car parking first, you've issued a statement this morning calling on the DAA to use land that it already owns, which is in and around the airport, to set up a temporary car park to alleviate the problem. You say they could do this pretty much straight away.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look back on the return post-COVID, like, there always seems to be some excuse. Like, last year it was security, not hiring people in time. This year, not having the foresight to do something about car parking well in advance. And, you know, the simple thing to do now would be to alleviate that on a temporary basis for the summer, would be to release some of the land bank that they have up there, the way you do in festivals, to get some sort of emergency cover there, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a mess this year, but there's always something. Last year, security, this year, car parking. I don't know what it's going to be next year.
Well, look, as you're talking to me, a statement has come in from the DAA. They refute the simplistic view that we can simply open up fields at Dublin Airport and conjure up additional car parking spaces. That requires infrastructure, which requires planning permission. We're running the fifth largest transatlantic hub airport in Europe, not a county fair.
I mean, look, the time to look at this was months ago, just like it was straight after COVID on security. The time to do this was not this weekend to be putting out press release to say that they've run out of car parking because they want to ram through something on the competition authority. They should have had the foresight to see this and done something about it. We put together a relatively straightforward solution for them to explore rather than just making a list of excuses.
It is fairly simplistic though, Eddie, isn't it, to say to them, open up a field there.
I know, but like, if you look at it, it was fairly simplistic when you're running an airport. When we had launched the summer schedule in 2022, our largest summer schedule ever, and then we found out we didn't have enough security people. Now, that was last summer. It's just excuses one year after the next. It's up to them to run the airport. It's up to them to have sufficient car parking space, and they should have done this months ago and had some. They should have had the foresight to actually do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, they had the problem with the security staff last year, and people will remember that. They say they fixed that this year. Do you expect that there will be any problems?
No, I mean, I think, in fairness, I mean, the people up there in security, I go through there once, if not twice a week, do a fantastic job, and it's busy, and we haven't had any major delays. I mean, like, there's peaks, you know, as you go through any airport. So, like, I mean, it's largely fixed for this summer. But as I say, it was the previous summer. Now we got the car parking this year.
Yeah, they say in their statement today that it takes about 20 minutes to get through now, but they could reduce that to 15 minutes. And Kenny Jacobs was in here with us explaining this. He feels he could reduce it to 15 minutes, Eddie, if he increases the passenger fee.
That's the playbook of the DAA. I mean, like, the DAA have put charges up this year already by 12%, and I've heard him talking about charges. The charges to walk through Dublin Airport for a passenger in summer 24 is €21. And on top of that, if you look at their accounts, they extract another €17 out of every passenger, every man, woman and child that walks through for car parking duty-free. Duty-free is booming. That's close now to €40 for people to walk through Dublin Airport.
Is it not €8.50, the passenger fee?
No, go and get a statement of them. Not at all.
Well, he says it's the lowest. It's the lowest in Europe, he says.
Well, I tell you what it is. Every airport in the world does it on a departing passenger basis. So it's actually double what he's talking about. And then he has to add on the increase that he put through this year. I can tell you what the summer charge is this year on a per passenger basis is €20.81 for Ryanair passengers going through Dublin Airport. And that's a fact.
So, okay, so that's going to and from. So that's both ways.
Every airport does it on a departing basis. What they've done is a sleight of hand and cut it in two.
And do you accept what he says, that it is the lowest capital city airport charge in Europe?
No. If you look at Ryanair's accounts, our airport charges across all 235 airports that we fly to is €7 per passenger. And so Dublin Airport is three times what we pay on average across the network.
Yeah, but you're including non-capital city airports in that.
Yeah, but like 75% of Ryanair traffic goes to major airports in Europe.
Yeah, but I mean, the comparison is a capital city, and is Dublin charging less than other capital cities?
We fly to Madrid, we fly to London, we fly to Prague.
And how much is it there? How much is it in London?
The average in our accounts is €7 across all 235 airports.
Yeah, that's not what I'm asking you, though.
No. But like, I mean, what I'm clearly not going to tell you the commercial rates on what Kenny is talking about.
You're happy to tell me what they are in Dublin?
But Claire, because what they do is there's no incentives in Dublin. There are published rates in every airport in Europe. And what Ryanair and other airlines are able to do is get a reduction on those charges by giving volume. Like the rack rate that he's talking about is the equivalent of the hotel rate when you arrive up and you have no choice, and the rate is on the airport or on the hotel desk. What they have is they're the published charges, and we are able to negotiate incentives right across Europe, and the average is 7. Mm-hmm. And that includes the 21 from Dublin Airport. So they are clearly out of kilter, and we fly over 75% to major airports.
And will Dublin not negotiate with you on the passenger fee?
No, they don't do it. That's why it's regulated charges. They're a monopoly.
Yeah, but I'm sure passengers would like to see, you know, if they thought that an increased, modest increase in the passenger fee was going to lead to a fast, clean airport with good services, they might be happy to pay it.
Claire, if you asked them as they were walking through Dublin Airport today, would they like to pay €21 to walk through the airport? I think you might get a different response.
Yeah, but they might like clean tables and clean toilets.
Well, that's what they're getting the €21 for.
All right, let's talk about the air traffic controller strikes in France. I know you had an issue with this in the lead up to the summer. It is impacting you, isn't it, in a big way?
Yeah, it is significant. When you see what has happened, we've had 58 days of strikes across French air traffic control since the start of the year. About 3.5 million passengers, Ryanair passengers impacted, and almost 12 million passengers throughout other airlines right across Europe unnecessarily. Most of these people are disrupted because of overflights. So you've got people flying from Ireland down to Greece or from Scandinavia to Spain because they go across French airspace are unnecessarily disrupted. So we're making some progress on that. We presented the petition to the European Commission there. Michael did that about 2 weeks ago. And I think we're getting some traction. We talked recently to the Italian and Spanish governments. They're beginning to see the effect on their tourist economies for the summer, where people just unnecessarily be having their holidays cancelled or delayed because of French air traffic control and what is a national issue, and it shouldn't be affecting European citizens in other countries.
So what is the Commission saying to you, the EU Commission?
I think they have softened up slightly. I mean, they can see the difficulty. Most other European countries, there's a concept of minimum services. We don't have it in Ireland or the UK when essential services go on strike, that they protect certain services. And what they do in places like Italy, Germany, Spain, they protect the overflights because that's nothing to do with a national strike. So everybody can understand, I'm going to Paris today, there's a French air traffic control strike, I'm going to be disrupted. What people get really frustrated about is, I'm flying from Dublin today to Malaga and my flight is cancelled. So, and that really impedes on the freedom of movement. And it needs the French to just change their minimum services legislation as other countries in Europe have done.
Mm-hmm. On the drones which disrupted flights, we know I think 8 times or 6 times in the first 8 weeks of the year rather. Is that sorted now? Does Dublin Airport have the equipment up and running that they need to?
I think they have the equipment up and running. We haven't had any more incidents at Dublin Airport, and hopefully there'll be no repeat of it. But my understanding is that they've got the equipment and the staff are trained.
Okay, so you're not concerned on that front. On the third terminal at Dublin Airport, Eddie, Ryanair, I see, is calling for an independent third terminal. Why?
I think what you need is, like, everybody who goes through the airport knows that we need more capacity. If you look at, you know, the Terminal 2 that was built many years ago, I mean, it was a poor design. You know, that was from a different time. You know, at the front of the airport, if you go up to that terminal now, the check-in desks aren't used. The catering on the land side isn't used. People used to go to the airport and drop people off and go for a pint or go for a meal before they went. That doesn't happen anymore. People want to get through security. And the design of that building means that there's a bottleneck to get through and they can't expand it. So it was the wrong terminal for the long term. The terminal that we're in, they can easily extend that when you get down to that walkway. Instead of turning to the left into that terminal, you could turn to the right, and there's plenty of space there on old aircraft hangars along there, like aircraft hangars that we're going to be vacating because we're building a new one on near the North Runway. But you need those facilities. If there was a third terminal, I think that would work. But I think the cheapest way of doing it would be to extend Terminal 1. But if Terminal 3 is there, or there's a third terminal, then they should do it. But we have this ridiculous situation where they want to build a tunnel under the old runway, which is the size of the Port Tunnel. It's got two lanes on either side to bring over a minuscule amount of equipment. There's no passengers over there. There's no airplanes over there that bring passengers, and they're going to spend $200 million on that. Like, it's a part of national infrastructure here. The DAA think they're running their own business. They're not. They're running a piece of infrastructure to get people on and off this island as efficiently as possible so that airlines, including Ryanair, can put capacity in here.
DAA's plans, this is their statement today on this, for the construction of a vehicle underpass, this is the tunnel you were talking about, in the middle of the airfield, is required to improve access and safety on the airfield, allowing for the segregation of aircraft and vehicles and the movement of vehicles to the West Air apron, which is now restricted following the opening of the new North Runway. So they say they need it.
It's not. I mean, there's nothing over there. There are no passengers. The next time you're going through the runway, the old runway that runs north to south, that you can see the pigeon house almost at one end of it, it runs towards the city. That's the runway that they're talking about tunneling across. There is nothing over there at the moment other than parked aircraft and the IAA tower facility. There is no need. Whatever you need for access, you don't need to spend $200 million on the equivalent of the Port Tunnel with four lanes of traffic. It is nonsense. And there's a way around it as well. You can, like at the moment, today, vehicles, the couple of vehicles that need to access that can drive around the airfield. If they bought some electric vehicles there, then that could do it. But $200 million to go into a cul-de-sac that no passengers are on the other side is just a complete waste of money.
Okay, and they refute that. I'm getting a lot of messages about parking. People are really irate about not being able to get to the airport. You know, they have to get a taxi or they have to get a bus, and people know about the problems with bus services. Is it something that Ryanair could solve? Could Ryanair think about putting on some sort of a bus service?
I don't think so. I mean, we're running an airline here. I mean, I can understand the frustration.
You need to get people on the planes.
Yeah, I mean, people will have to find alternative ways. But, this isn't, running an airport isn't about issuing press releases of what you can't do. What should have been done was, 6 months ago and 12 months ago, was to have the foresight to say that there was going to be 8,000 car parking spaces less, and what were they going to do about it, rather than just trying to game the system as usual to raise prices and to try and bully the competition authority into giving them what they want.
They're trying to buy the old quick park. Car park.
Yeah, but look at what they've done. They take €17 off every man, woman and child on ancillary revenue at the moment, which includes car parking and duty free. Right, they have a monopoly up
They're
there.
They're entitled to do that.
Absolutely they are, but if you think about the amount of money that goes through and the services, €17 to do that. If you've got a monopoly, there's only one way those charges are going, and they're going to go up.
Yeah, they say they're not a monopoly in this statement today. They don't set their own charges. We're a regulated business, unlike airlines who do set their own fares, and they've risen 30% in the last year.
Claire, the only thing I'd say to ask them is that why is there a regulator if they're not a monopoly? The regulator sets the charges because they've no competition.
Set the charges. You know, the regulator does.
I know, but the regulatory regime is in place. You don't have a regulatory regime in place for sweet shops because there's competition, but you have it for airports because there's no competition and they have to set reasonable charges.
Yeah, but if there was no regulator, you might have a point, but there is a regulator.
Why it was put in, right, because they're a monopoly.
Listen, 300 new Boeing 737 MAX 10 aircraft ordered by yourselves at Ryanair. It's the largest order ever placed by an Irish company for America. American manufactured goods. But Eddie, looking into the future, do you accept, and does Ryanair accept, that in your future plans, people are just going to have to fly a lot less because of the climate impact of air travel?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, the whole industry is going to have to deal with. Like, first of all, like that air travel, we have to accept that there's no quick solutions to this, you know, and it isn't everybody just going on their holidays. It is at this time of the year. It's not necessarily discretionary for, you know, visiting friends and relatives, people working, coming backwards and forwards from Ireland to the UK, how our economies have changed. So, you know, we are, the aircraft that we've invested $40 billion US dollars in are doing the right thing, like in terms of burn 20% less fuel, 20% more seats, 50% less noise emissions as you make your way towards that. But engine technology is going to have to change along with sustainable aviation fuel. I think you are going to see that air travel will probably become, it will become more expensive because, you know, the era of ultra-low fares is probably gone because economies continue to grow and air travel is not tracking that at the moment. And if you've got less of something, then the price goes up. But I think there are challenges, but there's no easy solutions given the sort of safety implications. You can't just come up with a new engine, you know, and put it in service next year, you know.
There was a suggestion in the UK from a Citizens Climate Assembly that there be frequent flyer levies to offset in some way. Would you be in favour of those?
What you've got to look at, you don't necessarily look at who the people are. You've got to look at, like, what is the capacity? You've got to look at the number of aircraft and what those aircraft do. And the simplest way to do that is to get from an affordable, sustainable aviation fuel, and we've got a target of putting 12% in by 2030. We need to be able to get that to 100%. Then, at least, you've got a sustainable way of operating aircraft. And that's what's happening. You know, we've got the same challenges with cars, whereby, you know, you now have the Germans saying that they're not going to be, they won't be able to meet the targets of ceasing the manufacturing of internal combustion engines. Will there be enough electric vehicles around?
Yeah, but at least we have electric vehicles. But it seems from what you're saying that you don't accept that people are simply going to have to fly less.
Well, I think what happens is that the capacity is not growing in line with the economies, right? So most airlines haven't recovered on a short-haul basis. But it becomes increasingly important for people getting to and from work, visiting families and friends. It's not a discretionary activity that sometimes that is painted, you know, about going. It's not all about going on your holidays to Spain or going away for the weekend. Well, it's not. But, like, you also got to think about, if you look at, like, countries like Spain, if 14% of their GDP is on tourism, if those people weren't working in tourism, they would be emitting carbon in some other industry. So we've got to recognize that as well. We can't just cut off large swathes of the economy without knowing how you're going to migrate people to other industries, etc. Okay. You know, so it's going to be difficult.
All right, Eddie,
but we'll get there.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Eddie Wilson, Chief Executive of Ryanair. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.